Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, more on Hurricane Harvey and the especially horrific case of the mother who drowned, but her little child who survived clinging to her mother's body. And that being one of countless reasons, including the teachings in the Bible, why we should not be flippant and say that God targeted Texas with this terrible storm. So more on Hurricane Harvey. Then there's also fabulous news today on the cancer treatment revolution front. The FDA has approved a targeted antibodies drug for childhood leukemia. Just extraordinary. If you want all the latest news on the cancer treatment revolution, you go to our website, kgov.com/targeted antibodies. To make it easy, kgov.com/TA, and you will be amazed at all the extraordinary developments. Okay, there's also great news about a dinosaur exhibit. We'll get into that. There's the 20th anniversary of Princess Diana's death, which is tragic. We'll talk just a bit about her and what a tragic waste her life was. So we'll discuss that. Also, hey, here's a shout out to a listener in Hamburg, Germany, Samuel. I shouldn't say his last name, right? Samuel V. Hello, Samuel. And he just downloaded our Global Flood and the Hydroplate Theory from our online store, store.kgov.com. You just go to KGov and click on the store. We have so many fascinating resources, not only science resources, but Bible studies and topical videos, raising children and parenting, and on, just really great resources, principles of governance, and so on. Okay, so the Hurricane Harvey death toll is triple of yesterday's, which had doubled from the 5 on Monday. It's now up to at least 30 people. 30 people are dead from this hurricane, and the disease that possibly will set in because of all the bacteria and the viruses that multiply in standing water, especially in warm environments. You know how they say, don't eat raw oysters that were harvested during certain months of the year, any month that has an R in its name, right? And because of the virus can make you deathly sick, even kill you. Well, that virus is one of the many microbes that will be spreading through the floodwaters there in Texas. Just devastating. Also, it appears that Hurricane Harvey may be the most expensive natural disaster in the history of the United States. And it may end up dwarfing the cost of Hurricanes Sandy and Katrina, unlike the estimates of just 30 hours ago or so. So we'll find out more about that. Of the thousands of people, tens of thousands, who will basically lose their homes, they think, and even the way Donald Trump was speaking, and this every president does this, and it's somewhat flippant. We're there for you. We will be there for you. We've declared this a federal disaster area. So FEMA's coming in, the Federal Emergency Management Administration. We're going to take care of you. And the taking care of you typically amounts to, what, $1,500, some hotel vouchers, stay at a Motel 6, whatever. Many people think that they're going to have their houses replaced by the federal government. And of course, that would bankrupt the federal government practically. And that's not the role of the federal government. But when you toy with people's expectations and you give them false expectations, it's just devastating. And this happens time and time again. Now, with at least 30 people dead so far, you see how terrible it is when Christians falsely accuse God of sending this storm to Texas, of targeting Texas. If you speak on God's behalf and you're not authorized to speak on God's behalf, as he did with the prophets and the apostles, oh, we could and we should share with people what God has revealed in the scriptures, of course. But when you interpret specific events, we Christians, taken as a group, we have a hard enough time interpreting the Bible. Then we're going to interpret a flat tire. What is God telling me? Or an earthquake? Or a fire? Or someone gets a disease, an illness? And we're going to interpret that. We're going to interpret an earthquake or a hurricane. And many of those, in one instance, they'll say it was God. In the other instance, they'll say it was the devil of the exact same event. Do you see how insane it all becomes? And how we misrepresent the Lord? So if you're not authorized to speak on God's behalf, and you say God did this to punish America, God did this to punish Texas, to punish Houston, when you misrepresent God, ask yourself, does the Lord approve or disapprove of those who misrepresent him? Does it warm his heart or is it discouraging to him? As we learn from the Bible, typically God is not in the whirlwind. He's not in the fire. He's not in the quake, but he is in the still small voice. This horrific case of this mother who drowned in Beaumont, Texas, where first responders, rescue workers, said that this woman, her car got stuck yesterday afternoon. We're doing a radio show here in Colorado, and this woman has her 18-month-old child with her, her little toddler, and she's at an office park in the parking lot just off of Interstate 10, and there is a canal there that's swollen with rain. Her car gets stuck. She's worried her car might be taken away by the floodwaters. She gets out of her vehicle with her child, trying to bring her 18-month-year-old daughter to safety. And the currents of this flooded drainage canal, so they're seeping over the canal, through the parking lot, and they swept both of them away. So when the rescue workers got there, her daughter was holding on to the mom, whose body was floating, and the police and the fire rescue team, they were in a boat, they caught up to them, they were a half mile downstream from where they got out of the car, a half mile. So the rescuers pulled both of them into the boat just before they were about to have gone under a railroad trestle. And they said if that had happened, they could not reach them. They just couldn't get to them. And so superstitious and immature Christians will say, see the miracle God did? He made them get to them just before the trestle. You know how many times Christians say the most stupid things like that? There's a plane crash. Almost everybody gets killed. Somebody survives. And they say, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. How about all the kids that got killed? Was that a miracle? It's like somebody suffering from a debilitating disease, a terrible illness, and they recover, they get great treatment, medical treatment, and we recover in large part because of God's goodness, because of how he created us. When he made Adam and Eve, he gave an immune system to our bodies so that if they have a fighting chance, we could recover from countless ailments during the course of our lives. And even broken bones and so on, given the opportunity, our bodies, 10 trillion times over in the history of mankind, they have restored themselves. They've healed themselves. Sometimes you need a little medicine or something to give you the opportunity. And then really it's your body that restores itself, typically. And so this is because of God. So we thank God for all good things. But did God give the little girl a tumor so he could show how great he is by healing her? I mean, how absurd is that? That would be like you have a friend who says, I know your transmission's out, and I know you can't afford to get it fixed. I want to fix it for you. And he fixes it for you. And you're so thankful. And then you found out that he put dirt in your gas tank to ruin your transmission, your engine, so that he could fix it. And then what do you think about your friend? How do you assess that? Well, he fixed it, but this is bizarre. This is not healthy. So many Christians, their theology, it's like that. And that's just tragic. So when the rescuers lifted this little girl, 18-month-old girl, from her mother's body yesterday afternoon into their boat, then they tried to revive the mom, but she never regained consciousness. Now, this little girl is in stable condition at Christus St. Elizabeth Hospital. And even that is beautiful. Think of the thousands of hospitals that Christians have established around the world. Hospitals, medical clinics, schools, by the thousands. Is it 10,000? Just the history of doing that through the centuries. And how many established by atheists? Well, until the government became atheist, the answer was about zero, very few, in contrast. And so we can see the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the world, where Jesus taught us to love our neighbor, but not only love our neighbor, even love our enemy. So what happened to this family? Now the father, the authorities have not released the name of the mother and the child. Their identities are being withheld until they could find the father and notify him, because when the storm hit, he was out of town. So for the Christians who will say flippantly that God targeted Texas with this hurricane, you're misrepresenting God. You are misrepresenting God. Has God performed signs and wonders? Absolutely. If you're interested in miracle dynamics, that is, what is it about miracles that cause people to hate God even more, because that's the history of the Bible, and how could we determine, and how do we know what God is doing today in our day, as compared to what he was doing, say, during the time of Moses? We have a Bible study album on it also, but you can get it in an article. There's an amazing graphic there you might want to see at kgov.com/miracles. kgov.com/miracles. If you haven't read that article, I think you owe it to yourself to read it, to evaluate it, to ask yourself, is this biblical? Is this teaching based on the scriptures? And is it just taking one or two scriptures and twisting them? Or is it based on the preponderance of what the Bible says about miracles and their effect on human beings, both believers and unbelievers? Because miracles foster unbelief. That's generally what miracles do. And that's a tragedy, but that's reality. And why is that? Jesus explained that. You could find it in Moses, find it throughout the Bible. Even believers, the more miracles they see, the more difficult a time they have trusting God, the more miracles they see. Just look at the apostles. Just look at the entire nation of Israel after the plagues and the deliverance from Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea and the manna from heaven, all that. And the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. All the miracles daily for 40 years, and their clothes did not wear out. And God fed them in the wilderness. And he brought them meat when he wanted to give them meat. And all of that, and the nation rejected him, and their dead bodies fell to the floor of the desert in unbelief, the Bible teaches us, after all those miracles. So there are reasons why God is not doing undeniable miracles for the world to see. There are reasons why, and those reasons are explained explicitly in the scriptures. So kgov.com/miracles. Also, you could check out my life's work, the book The Plot, an overview of the Bible, and chapter 10 of The Plot deals with this exact topic. In fact, that article in the Bible teaching on that topic that you can download from there, kgov.com/miracles, that all comes from the Bible, of course, and as summarized in chapter 10 of my book, The Plot, the Bible's overview is the key to its details. So we have a list of every miracle in the Bible, every single one, a big table, and we identify what happened in the miracle, what verses report the miracle, and what was the response of those who received the miracle, of those who witnessed the miracle. And what a table. As we've been told now for what, 20 years, it's one of the most extraordinary observations that we are able to make when we look at the scriptures. And specifically, what does the Bible say about miracles, signs, and wonders? And you contrast that with what it says about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and it's all stunning. Okay, so back to Harvey. The rainfall totals, now this storm, I'm asking my producer, it looks like this storm is drawing to a close. So if there is future rain, that would be a separate storm system. There's another tropical storm forming in the Atlantic, thankfully not in the Gulf. But the rainfall totals top out at 52 inches. 52 inches in Cedar Bayou, Texas. 49 inches in Dayton, Clear Creek, and Mary's Creek. Remember Mary's Creek? We talked about that yesterday. Dozens of locations in Texas got hit with more than 3 feet of rain. 3 feet! How do we relate in our own lives to 3 to 4 feet of rain or more in a few days? Just stunning. In my own life, I can contrast that with the most rain I have ever experienced in a single 24-hour period. It was 6 inches of rain. I remember the night vividly. It was in southern Indiana in a national forest. I was riding across the country back in the late 70s on a moped of all things. It's so slow, it has pedals, in case you're in a hurry, and if you got to go uphill. I was going along Route 50, you know, before the interstate highway system, Route 50 was the main way to get across the country. And I would camp pretty much every night. I'd fish. I was on the road for, 6 weeks? And that night, that part of Indiana got 6 inches of rain. Yikes. Well, I decided I don't want to be in a tent. I'm going to go in this shelter. There was an enormous shelter, must have had, 15, 20 big old picnic tables under its roof. The sides were open. The ends were stone walls. And on one end was a beautiful, huge fireplace, just gorgeous. And by the way, I was soaked. My stuff was soaked. So I decided instead of setting up a tent, I'm going to lay out my stuff on these tables to dry, and I'm going to sleep on a sleeping bag on one of these picnic tables. Well, I get all set up. I figure I'll have a really nice night, and the cars start coming by the dozens. It's a Boy Scout meeting. It's a huge few troops. About 120 Boy Scouts had been planned for that night in the shelter. So I spent, 15 minutes chatting with the leaders before their event started. They were interested in my trip. We hit it off well, and they asked me if I'd speak to the kids. Well, what an honor, and what a great time we had. The scoutmaster instructed all these kids. He said, all right, now, kids, Mr. Enyart is going to need to be warm and have all his gear dried out. So would you go out into the forest and gather up firewood? I had piles of firewood. I mean, the wood was stacked higher than the kids. What a roaring, fabulous fire. What a great time. and what a lifelong, wonderful memory that was. Now, back to Houston. That 6 inches that night, Houston, we're talking about 3 feet, 4 feet and more of rain in the region. You know, Joel Osteen, the seeker-friendly, which means nicer than God, megachurch minister, he's been trash-talked, and really it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy there in Houston. He's a liberal, right? Pro-homosexual, abortion apathetic, tolerant of America's perversions. He supports the godless public schools and socialism. So what's a liberal to do, you know? Liberals, they want to save the whales, but a whale never knocks on your door at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning and throws up on your couch, right? That's one of the reasons liberals want to save the whales. They want to save the whales. Many of them, they even want to save bugs, but they celebrate the dismembering of unborn children. That's how evil they are. And Joel Osteen, he's a liberal. And so the criticism of him in not opening up his megachurch as a shelter, well, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Okay. So Harvey, again, how important it is to help the people there, people suffering, if you can, one-on-one, if you know people there and they're in need and you could help them, or your family to their family, or your church to their church. That's the best way to help. If you can't do that, then say Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, some reputable way to help, and avoid the mega national organizations which are overly political and overly politically correct. Okay, so also in the news, the largest ever excavated dinosaur, it's one of the titanosaurs, a cast of it anyway, will be in Chicago's Field Museum, and that's where the famous T-Rex skeleton is. Sue, remember that? Have you ever been there right on the shore with Lake Michigan? They call her Sue, T-Rex. Now, I have a sister Sue in Chicago, but this is a different Sue. This is a dinosaur Sue. And interestingly, when they began finding so much soft tissue in dinosaur bones that are supposed to be tens of millions of years old, but they're not, they have blood vessels, red blood cells, hemoglobin, all kinds of proteins. They've even found double helix strands of DNA in hadrosaur and T-Rex. It's all astounding. Osteocytes. If you Google dinosaur soft tissue, click on our article at kgov.com, or you could go to kgov.com/soft tissue, and it will blow your mind. And we here at Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio, we have made 2 specific predictions regarding dinosaur soft tissue, and both have been confirmed by subsequent discoveries. It's all astounding. And it all falsifies the claim that the Earth is billions of years old because it compresses all those layers of stone. Like in the Grand Canyon, they were not formed over tens and hundreds of millions of years. They were all formed as the sediment deposition of a single global catastrophe. And that's why you could still find red blood cells commonly in dinosaur bones. And yes, I said commonly. Just look at the documentation from the world's leading science journals that we link to, that we quote from on our page, kgov.com/soft tissue. So when they lose the dinosaurs, they lose it all. And that's why we've spent these 10 years now focusing on the dinosaur soft tissue discoveries that are astounding. And we have the world's most complete database, a catalog, a listing of all those discoveries on our website. And then you click on our supplemental material. We have a spreadsheet that you can utilize, and it links to all the major published discoveries. It's just fabulous. So, at any rate, the Chicago Field Museum, they are adding this new dinosaur exhibit, which is so cool. But I mentioned Sue, the T-Rex, because they decided to break open some of Sue's bones, at least one of them. And they thought, well, we might as well look in her bones because she's been here for a long time. And we never look inside the bones. They never did that. For 100 years of fabulous microscopes, they never did it because of their evolutionary assumption, which so often kills science, that you wouldn't find anything but stone. Well, lo and behold, they found original biological material even in one of Sue's bones. Dinosaur material. How's that? So what else is in the news? Oh, I want to get to the extraordinary development of the drug. I wanted to mention Princess Diana, but there's no time. The drug story's too big. But what a tragic waste of her life. And then her untimely death, just devastating. But today, August 30th, 2017, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has approved a living drug. This is what we've been reporting on for a couple years now here on Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. The targeted antibody revolution for cancer treatment. This drug, it's called Kymriah, K-Y-M-R-I-A-H. Just go to our website, kgov.com/antibodies, and you'll see it. We got a photo of the drug here. You get an injection or transfusion of it. And it's actually a living drug. And it enables your body to modify your own antibodies to fight childhood leukemia. And this is for children with acute leukemia and young people up to age 25. And there are many other trials. We document so many of them ongoing. There have been many successful trials against many different kinds of drugs. And we list all of the targeted antibody or the immunotherapy drugs that are currently approved by the FDA. And you could see the kinds of cancers that they are prescribed for. Various lung cancers, melanoma, head and neck cancers, renal cell carcinoma, classical Hodgkin lymphoma, and now this for childhood leukemia. And in one study, they had, 65 children about, and 83% of the kids with this advanced, really tough childhood leukemia went into remission. And many oncologists are beginning to use the word cure because now they know 10 years later, they've checked some of the early patients, and 10 years later, not only are they still in remission, but their body still is producing the antibodies in case the cancer tries to come back. And if it does, your body just destroys it. So, and we thank God for that, and we thank all those researchers, the molecular biologists, all the brilliant minds. And you know what? They can't take credit for their brilliant minds. They didn't give themselves their own intelligence. That came from God. But we're thankful for everyone who's dedicated. They've dedicated their lives to help us fight this horrific, horrific disease of cancer and the 100 kinds of cancer. And we made a prediction here, Bob and Yurt Live, in March of this year, that cancer is going to drop dramatically by the year 2025 as a leading cause of death. From the second leading cause of death in the U.S. to down below stroke, which is currently the fifth, by 2025. We'll find out if that turns out to be true. And this is Bob and Yurt. May God bless you.